Greetings in the name of Christ. I am overjoyed to be here with you this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, if you will. I was reflecting a little bit last week. We had a very special service, and the emphasis was on the resurrection of Christ. And there was just a tone of victory in the air. I always said there's a difference between an Easter service and a communion service, right? Not that there's not a tone of victory in the communion service, but there's just a little bit of a different emphasis. And maybe we have it reversed on our schedule. Maybe we should have done the communion first. But we celebrated the resurrection, and then this morning we're going to just think a little bit more about Jesus and his suffering for you, for me. And if you're in Luke 22, I'd like to just drop in at verse 15, where Jesus sits down with his close friends, and he says, with desire. And my Bible has a footnote, I have earnestly desired. And I hope there's a ring in your spirit to that phrase in light of this service. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And then he goes on, I will not eat anymore until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took the cup, take it, divide it among yourselves. I won't drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Then he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave to them. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And we're going to do that shortly. But this morning, I'd like to ask you a question. Why did he say, do this in remembrance of me? And maybe I'd like to highlight one word. It's hard to dissect those couple words. Do is very important. Do. I'm not afraid of the word do. There's this phrase that says we're human beings, not doings. And it is very true. We can put our emphasis on doings, and if all of our confidence is in doing, we'll never be the person that we are in Christ. But to be, there's a do. Do this in remembrance of me. And I the older I get, the more I struggle with that word remember. Anybody with me? Why did Jesus say it? What's the opposite of remember? Say it. Forget. Yeah. Anybody here? I'd like to see the hands of forgetful people. Okay? Okay. A couple of dishonest people didn't put their hands. No, I think everybody's. Sometimes forgetting is more intentional than others. Right? Do you ever have a child? I forgot. You know, school teacher, I forgot. You know, your students, I forgot. We get the forgetful part because we're human. But sometimes there's lack of emphasis put on remember. We kind of remember what's really important, right? So Jesus said, remember. I need a song. I would like to turn to 332. Turn in your Songs of Faith and Praise, 332. Sometimes poetry says it so well. And I've tried to get a little more context to the author of 332 and hymn histories. There's some really good hymn history stories, and I'm not sure if I could tell you a lot about Jenny Hussey. I think that's how you say her name. But anyway, listen to here's what I'm really trying to say. What she said so well. She said, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget. Thy thorn-crowned brow lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget that love for me lead me to Calvary. And what's she saying? If you don't take me to Calvary, I'm going to forget it. I think she got a little hold of what Jesus was saying when Jesus said, remember me. Show me the tomb, verse 2, where thou was laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robe of light arrayed guarded thee while thou slept. We talked about that last Sunday. Let me, like Mary through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. Verse 4, say it with me, okay? Ready? May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Sometimes poetry is really, it really captures. And in this song, it kind of captures what I want to say in just a few minutes. Lest I forget, Gethsemane. And I think sometimes we just tend to forget. That's why Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me. So we're not really told how many times we should have communion service. In the scripture, I caught that they were breaking bread through the night. Guy fell off the windowsill, pronounced him dead, rose again, back to breaking bread. In my opinion, everything can be underdone and overdone. I am no way here trying to defend two times a year, but that's kind of what we agreed on. And we don't want it to lose its meaningfulness. It tends to do that regardless. But yet we don't want to do it too infrequent. So what's the point? Remember. So whatever that means, whatever it takes to remember Jesus. I was thinking of another song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. That's what we want to do. And if we do that, look full in his glory and grace, all the things of this world will what? Become strangely dim. So you're in Luke 22. Just jump over now to another verse in the same chapter. Verse 39, he went to the Mount of Olives. In other words, this was his habit. He went to the Mount of Olives. The disciples came and followed him. And when he was at that place, he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and he prayed. He said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Get it? So he looked, I don't know if it was a physical cup, I doubt it, but something about a cup. In a few moments, you're going to have a cup or a little cup. And that's no little thing. Jesus had a cup and he looked in it and I don't know, I often said if you could liquefy the sin of the whole world, you'd get a little bit of a glimpse of what it is. And if you could liquefy the sin of the entire world and look into it, I would want to throw it away. But he looked at it and he said, I don't want it. I don't want it. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And I want to tell you something, lest we forget Gethsemane, I think the entire victory was won right there. And in a sense, you have the exact same garden to go to. You have the exact, well, the cups vary, but we all have the cup. And it's something about, I don't really want the suffering part of it, but Lord, whatever you want. It's not about my will, it's about your will. That's where the victory is. About that time, 600 men were gathering together. Remember, Judas slipped out at night and he went to his buddies for some money. And about the time that Jesus was saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, 600 men approximately come marching up with swords and torches, and there they come. Last week we talked about soldiers having a picnic, you know, guarding a dead man. Now here they come, and they're coming to a live man. We're reversed in chronology. So But what they didn't know, they didn't know the battle was all over. They were coming for a battle, but the battle was totally finished when he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." End of battle right there. So there was no battle. Watch the 600 come marching up the hill. And why, oh why, Judas? The one I give a kiss, that's the one. Get him. Jesus comes and he says, "Friend." Friend. Interesting way to greet somebody that is betraying you. Here I am. And we could go through the scripture. I like each one of the gospel accounts. I like Luke's account for the garden. I like John's account more for the cross. But remember that song that said, "Lead me to Calvary"? You won't get to Calvary unless you go through the garden. You won't get to Calvary until you, or Gethsemane precedes Calvary. And I just want to affirm everyone here that most of us are going to have a garden. Gardens tend to be lonely. Gardens tend to be, we want company in the garden. We do. We want people to understand. Jesus did it. He just longed for some close company, but they fell asleep and they forsook it. They couldn't identify. And I'm convinced that in our gardens, there's some times where nobody can completely identify. And that's where we look into the cup and we just surrender. Well, he's led away to 6 unfair trials. And I just can't imagine what it'd be like to stand before a group of people and they stack it against you. False witnesses come front and give their case. They were paid to do it. I don't know if I could handle it. I really don't. I like justice. And sometimes I read the account and I say, "Come on, Jesus, just give them a statement that sends them back in their little huddles. You know, if we say this, we're doomed. If we say this, we're doomed." There's part of me that enjoys that. "Come on, Jesus, you can do it." Not a word. As a lamb to the slaughter, his mouth. Why? Because of my sin and your sin. He was representing my sin and your sin. So there he stood. He was a sacrifice. That makes all the difference. And I just can hardly handle it when they take him up the hill to Calvary. I wonder if he didn't fall from fatigue and stumbled carrying his own cross. There was a man named Simon. You know the story. He carried the cross up the hill, and that's where they crucified him. And after he died, I'm really going through this fast, but after he died, a soldier came up. John's gospel says it the best. And it's the soldier pierced the side of Jesus wide open. And you know what happened? Out of his side flowed blood and water, and it landed at the foot of the cross. That precious blood was shed for you, and it was shed for me. That blood says paid in full. That blood is the payment, and it's not my doings that pay. There's a big difference the way people live. Some live to satisfy God. But Isaiah 53 tells us the story of long before it even happened. And it said, his soul, God's soul, saw the suffering and was satisfied. So I serve a satisfied God, and I'm not trying to satisfy him. Because the blood of Jesus Christ paid in full. And we're here this morning to thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. That makes a difference in what I do. But I'm not trying to earn my way by satisfying him and plead. It's paid. The precious blood of Jesus has been shed. And we're here to remember. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would touch every heart here this morning. Our feeble attempt was to just look to Jesus. turn our eyes on Jesus, to remember Jesus, because we tend to forget. We tend to forget Gethsemane. We tend to forget Calvary. Lord, stir it afresh in our hearts. Bless Brother Leon as he conducts this part of the service, and may it be meaningful to every person. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll turn it over to Brother Leon.